Leave you with the challenge this evening. And so I would ask you to make your way in your Bibles in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus chapter number 14. And this evening I want to give you a challenge out of the Word of God entitled, Go Forward. Go Forward. We've been talking a lot about service and about how we ought to walk as believers here on this earth. And again, the knowledge is important. We have to have the knowledge, but we must apply the knowledge. And so this evening I want to challenge you as the Lord's people and as well myself to go forward. Notice Exodus chapter number 14, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. And we'll take our text thought out of verse number 15. In Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 10, notice, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Now watch. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your presence this evening. Lord, we thank you for the past couple days that we've had. We've been able to not only preach the Word, but to sit under the preaching of the Word and to hear from you. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence with us. Lord, this evening we plead with you once again to meet with us, to enlighten us that we might have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, it's one thing to know what your Word says and what your will is for our lives. It's an entirely different thing to do it. And so this evening, Lord, may we focus on going forward. May we focus on charging ahead in accordance with your will these coming days. And Lord, we just ask that, again, if there be folks in our midst that know you not as their Savior, we pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would be upon them this evening, that you would trouble the waters, and that you'd reveal yourself to them and save them as only you can. Lord, we thank you for the work of grace that you've accomplished in our lives. And we're careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory for that, for truly salvation is of the Lord. Lord, have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go forward. This is not tonight something that should cause us to hearken back to President Obama's misleading campaign slogan in the last election. His campaign slogan was forward, and the country's done anything but go forward. Tonight, we as God's people have had the privilege and opportunity all these years to sit under the preaching of the Word. And we've had the opportunity, and I include myself in that, as I've been able to sit under Brother Chris' ministry over the past couple days. We had the opportunity to be challenged from the Word of God. And so tonight, the question is, what are we going to do with it? And I say that we ought to do as God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel, we ought to go forward. Chapter 14 chronicles, here chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, chronicles God's directions that Moses was to give to the Israelites about the course that they were to take in their journey as they departed Egypt. And it wasn't going to be an easy course. In fact, we understand that according to the dictates of God, Pharaoh and the Egyptians would chase after God's people as God continued to get honor and glory unto His holy name through what He would do to Pharaoh and his army. And so picture yourself as the Israelites were. The Israelites are positioned and stationed, as we read in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 2. They're facing the mountains on the one side. And they have the Red Sea before them on the other. And then behind comes Pharaoh and his army. They're literally hemmed in with no place to go. And they begin to panic. And God speaks to Moses. And God tells Moses to lead the people. And specifically what He says to Moses is to tell the people to go forward. Now there are but two choices in our Christian walk. We think that there are more, but there really aren't. There are two choices. We're either going forward or we're going backward. There is no just standing still in our progress in our Christian walk. We're either going forward or we're going backward. And so this evening, I challenge you, beloved, to move forward and go forward in the Lord's will for your life. Now, this event that we see here in Exodus chapter number 14, I believe that it can help us determine not only to go forward, but I believe that we can receive direction as to how we are to go forward. Now, before I tell you how many points I have tonight, and I see Brother Chris smiling, and some of you are privy to some of the conversations that Brother Crisp and I have had. He's been needling me and teasing me all week about my three-point outlines in a good way, and I've enjoyed it. So originally I had 3 points. But you remember J.M. Pendleton wrote a book, 3 Reasons Why I'm a Baptist, with the 4th reason added on, communion. Well, tonight I have 3 keys that I want us to consider that will help us go forward in 2013 with the 4th key added for the edification of Brother Ron Crisp. So tonight we actually have 4 keys. I hope you'll put up with me. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little levity in the house of God, and I don't mean any harm by it. But 4 keys tonight that will help us go forward in our Christian walk. I'll give them to you, and then we'll look at them point by point in the Word of God. First of all, this first key, if we want to be going forward tonight, we have to lose the complaining and criticizing. We'll not be going forward if we're focusing on complaining and criticizing. The second key is that we must listen to commissioned counsel. God puts people in our path that He speaks to that give us godly, wise counsel, and we ought to listen to that. The third key is that we ought to look beyond calamitous circumstances. And then the 4th key, we'll call this the crisp key, the 4th key is that we ought to launch out into God's charted course for our lives. And so we begin tonight by looking at this first key that will help us go forward as we move through the services tonight and on into our Christian walk tomorrow and even this evening. The first key is this. We find it revealed in verses 10 through 12. We ought to lose the complaining and criticizing. We cannot go forward unless we understand that we must stop complaining about the past and criticizing others. And really what we're talking about here is we're talking about blaming others for our current situation. Is this not what the Israelites were doing? They were in a position that God had orchestrated. And they were exactly where God wanted them to be. And they looked at the coming armies of Pharaoh in Egypt and they began to panic and they started complaining and blaming Moses for their current situation. We can't go forward when we're complaining and criticizing. Now, let's think a little bit about the complaining and criticizing that was taking place here in Exodus chapter number 14. Notice, first of all, that it was caused by fear. Look at Exodus 14 and verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They were unarmed. They were pinned down. And they had nowhere to go. And they turn back. And they see Pharaoh and his armies marching towards them. How do you suppose you would feel? You know, oftentimes in our lives, we do what we do because we're driven by fear. Fear makes us do strange things. Have you ever seen anybody that had a serious phobia about spiders or snakes or something like that? And lo and behold, they're confronted with the spider or snake, and man, they start gyrating and doing all kinds of activities that you just say, man, that's just bizarre. Fear makes us do strange things. And we find that the children of Israel, they had cried unto God for deliverance. And God had chosen to deliver them by using His chosen vessel, Moses. And here, they're getting exactly what they asked for. They're exactly where God wanted them. And they look at the Egyptians marching after them. And they panic. And they begin to be afraid. We need to be careful that we're not complaining and criticizing about our current situation because we're driven by fear. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself this? What would I do if I weren't afraid? Would you do anything differently in your life if you weren't afraid? You might be here tonight and you say, man, I feel God is calling me to the ministry to preach the gospel, men. And you say, but I have such a fear of speaking in front of people. What would you do if you weren't afraid? What is it that God would have you do in going forward that is being stopped by your fear? And you're complaining and criticizing others. Listen, let us not be like the children of Ephraim, as mentioned in Psalm 78 and verse number 9. The Bible says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They were ready. And God had them exactly where He wanted them. And instead of going forward, they turned back. In fact, in that 78th Psalm, we find the phrase turned back mentioned three times. We're either going forward or we're turning back. They, the Israelites, needed to lose the complaining and criticizing. It was caused by fear. And this fear that caused the complaining and criticizing drove them to clamorously assign fault. Now the word clamor literally means a loud expression of dissatisfaction. And, you know, sometimes we hear some clamor, don't we? And what was it that the Israelites were doing? In verse number 10, if we were to end the story at the end of verse number 10, we'd say, well, the Israelites, they've got some wisdom because it says in the last part of verse number 10, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. But then notice verse 11. Then they begin to clamor and assign fault. Verse number 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You know what they were saying? Hey Moses, this is all your fault. We are in the predicament that we're in because of you. You let us out. What? Wasn't it good enough that we could have had graves in Egypt? But whatever your motivation was, Moses, you let us out to die out here in the wilderness. You know what? When we are assigning fault to others, we'll never be able to go forward. We might be like Adam and say, well, you know, it's the woman that you gave me. We could be like Eve and blame God. Or blame the devil. You know, the devil made me do it. And we've got all sorts of ways that we can assign fault. But you know, when we're involved in that, we'll never be going forward. And then notice as well, as we think about losing the complaining and criticizing, notice here in verse number 12, as they complained and criticized, they claimed to have foresight. Now watch what is said here in verse number 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now notice their scathing words to Moses. Notice what they're saying here. Really, they're saying two things. First of all, they're saying, Moses, we told you so. And secondly, Moses, we know what's best. You ever get that way in your Christian walk? I told you that was going to happen. I told you so. See, I told you it was going to happen. And then we say, you know what? I know better. I know better than what the preacher preached on Sunday, even though I can't refute it. It's the Word of God. I know better. The Israelites said, Moses, we told you so. Notice in verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They said to Moses, we told you what was going to happen. And notice, secondly, they say to Moses, we know what's best. We told you what was best. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now think about those two statements. One is in the form of a question, but it's really a statement. Is there any truth to what they're saying? I mean, was it true that they said to Moses, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? They were crying unto God for deliverance. In fact, when God called Moses, He said, I've heard the cry of my people. And so now they're saying, hey, we never wanted to leave. We thought we had it good there. Notice as well, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, where is it mentioned that they're going to die in the wilderness? God didn't tell them that they were going to die in the wilderness. They just assumed that that was going to happen by looking at their current situation. You know, we can't go forward when we're assuming that things are going to take place and thinking that we have some divine knowledge and foresight that we don't actually have. We must be careful, beloved, to make sure that we are not living like a fool. That's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? Fool. None of us want to be called a fool. We don't want to say that our actions are foolish. And yet the Bible says in Proverbs 12 and verse number 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know, there are times when we're called of God to go forward. We know what we're supposed to do. We ought to be going forward. And yet, we're really going backwards because we're complaining and criticizing others. The first key in helping us go forward is to lose the complaining and criticizing. But I want you to notice the second key here, mentioned in verses 13 through 15. And that is that we ought to listen to commissioned counsel. Now, what is commissioned counsel? Well, I believe that that is referring to counsel that is given by those whom God has enlightened from His Word. And there are many that will come in our paths, in our lives, in our membership in a New Testament church that will be able to give us enlightened counsel from the Word of God. I'm not talking tonight just about the pastor. I'm talking about those mature brothers and sisters in the Lord that can give us guidance and advice as to how we ought to proceed in our Christian walk. There are times when others are going to have insights that we ought to listen to that will help us move forward in our Christian walk? You know, we ought to have this attitude that we can learn something from everybody. Sometimes we do really have a haughty attitude. And we say, well, you know, I've been saved X amount of years, and this person, this brother over here, this sister over here, they've been saved, you know, less time than I have, and so what can I learn from them? Hey, you know, God might be using them to give you some wise, godly counsel in your Christian walk. We ought to leave that door open, and we ought to consider what we can learn. You know, the Israelites were not going to be able to go forward until they were listening to the commission council. Now, in this instance, it was Moses, commissioned of God, that was going to give them counsel in going forward. And notice, concerning this counsel, it was calming counsel. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. God has given counsel to calm us. You know what gets me? Is when folks misunderstand God's intention and purpose in giving pastors to local churches. Now, I'm not saying this tonight because I'm a pastor. For many years, I sat in the pew and had the opportunity to be a member of a number of sound independent Baptist churches as I was in the Air Force and spent 20 years in the Air Force and was able to serve under some godly pastors and serve the Lord in some true New Testament independent Baptist churches. And do we understand tonight that God has given churches pastors for a reason? You know, some churches really don't want a pastor. They want a preacher. They want the preacher to preach and be quiet and mind his own business, and there's nothing that you can teach us in our personal lives. There's no counsel that you can give us. And yet, that contradicts God's reason and purpose for giving us pastors. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight. And I want you to notice that God has given us pastors to calm us and counsel us in our Christian walk that we might go forward. I want you to notice Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. And I know that you know these passages well, but I want you to just notice the application tonight. We're talking about going forward in our Christian walk. In Ephesians chapter number 4, notice verses 11 through 14. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I believe pastors and teachers refers to the same office, pastor, bishop, or elder. And notice the reason that He gave pastors and teachers to the church. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. I believe if we were to look up the word perfecting, the word perfecting there, it would mean the complete furnishing of the saints of God. In other words, God gives the message to the pastor. The pastor distributes that to the sheep, and God accomplishes His good will through the message that He gives. But then notice verses 13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then pay particular attention to verse number 14. It's tied together with the verses that go before. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This word, the words tossed to and fro, literally mean to fluctuate. The words carried about with literally means to transport hither and thither. Now let me ask you this. How easy is it to go forward when you're fluctuating? How easy is it to go forward when you're tossed and transported hither and thither? I recall an instance years ago when I was a kid and my Dad had bought a new boat. And my brother, my older brother, and me and my dad went out on this lake, and we were going to, you know, Dad was going to try out his new boat. And I tell you what, a storm kicked up, and that boat, the engine on that boat went out, and we were rowing and trying to get to the shore, and that wind was contrary, and the more that we'd row, the more it'd kick us back, and we were stuck in the middle of that lake for I don't know how long. And I tell you what, I was afraid. I was a kid. I thought we were going down. It was hard to go forward when the waves were tossing us to and fro. You know what God says? God says, I've given pastors to the churches to preach and teach the Word of God, to give calming counsel that we might not henceforth be tossed to and fro, that we might not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. You ever talk to somebody and they've got this strange, far out doctrine? And pretty soon you come to find out, you say, well, where you go to church? Well, I'm studying on my own. I'm studying on my own. Hey, be careful about studying on your own. Now, you ought to study the Word of God and read the Word of God. I'm not saying that. But when you're out there on your own, apart from a New Testament church, and you're doing your own thing, you're going to be prone to being tossed about. And it's hard to go forward. We ought to listen to commission counsel. That commission counsel be giving us calming counsel. But sadly, it'll also be giving us correcting counsel. We need correction in our lives. All of us need correction, don't we? You know, God uses His Word to correct us. One of the purposes of the Word of God is for correction. Is that not true? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice here, Moses is correcting the children of Israel. They've complained and murmured against Moses, and Moses calms them down. And he says, just settle down. Take a deep breath. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then notice in verse number 14, he says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. What is Moses saying? He's saying, hey, quit the complaining and the murmuring. God's going to take care of us. You know, there are times that we need to be told to just be quiet. Just be quiet. You know, there are times when we speak foolishly, aren't there? And we need to be corrected. There are things that we say in our Christian walk that will prevent us from going forward. We need to listen to the correcting counsel of God. And then we need to listen to the commanding counsel of God. Notice in verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God is speaking to Moses and telling him the message that he must deliver to his people. Now, you know that there is a time for us to mull. There's a time to mull, right? The word mull means to ponder, to study. And when we're seeking the will of God, there's a time for us to be praying and seeking the face of God and mulling just what it is that God would have us do. I like what Brother Spurgeon wrote. Spurgeon wrote this. He said, stand still. Keep the posture of an upright man, ready for action, expecting further orders, cheerfully and patiently awaiting the directing voice, and it will not be long ere God shall say to you, as distinctly as Moses said to the people of Israel, go forward. There's a time to mull things over. There's a time to seek the face of God. There's a time to wait on God. But you know what we do oftentimes is we extend the waiting period. We are waiting when God's already spoken. And you know, there's a waiting that can be courageous. But there's also a waiting that can display cowardice. And we ought to mull things over. We ought to pray and seek the face of God. What is Moses doing here as the children of Israel are complaining? He begins to calm them down and he says, listen, let's be quiet for a moment. And Moses, as he's speaking to the children of Israel, he's praying unto the Lord. And the Lord says to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Not only is there a time to mull things over, but there's a time to move forward in the service of God. Now, what am I saying? Bear with me on this because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. There's a time when the prayer for direction is over. In other words, God has spoken. And really what God is saying to Moses here in verse number 15 is, "Moses, what are you doing? I've already told you what I want you to do. I've already told you what I want the people of God to do. It's time to get moving." Some of us spend our lives saying that we're waiting on God. And we're not really waiting on God. God's already told us what He wants us to do. We don't want to do it. We're afraid to do it. And so we say, "Oh brother, I'm praying for the will of God." God's already revealed His will to you. And just as He said to Moses, "What are you doing, Moses? Tell the people to go forward." John Gill said this about that verse. He says, concerning God, "He had other work for him, Moses, to do, and he, Moses, had no need to pray any longer. God had heard him and would save him and his people." Now, did that mean that Moses' praying was wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. Did that mean that Moses didn't need to pray at all anymore? No, certainly not. But for direction, God had already spoken. God had already said what He wanted them to do, and it was time to move forward. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but it could be that you know the will of God. You know what He wants you to do, and you don't want to do it. And so you say, "Well, I'm waiting on the direction of God." Hey, if He's already told you to go, let's go. Let's get moving. Let's move forward and go forward in the service of God. There's a third key that we need to see tonight that will help us go forward. We find it in verses 16 and 17, and that is that we need to look beyond our calamitous circumstances. Really, what I'm saying is that in order to go forward, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we walk by sight, there will always be a reason why we can't go forward. There will always be a reason why we can't surrender to the ministry. There will always be a reason why we can't give more for missions. There will always be a reason why we can't teach Sunday school when the pastor and the church has identified talents and abilities that we have that can be used in the service of God. There will always be a reason. But we need to understand that we have to look beyond our calamitous circumstances. Now, again, notice tonight, and I want to be very careful that we understand this properly, or rather that I communicate it properly. God's promises are sometimes contingent. They're sometimes contingent. Notice here, in verse number 16, God gives Moses instruction. "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." What did God tell Moses to do? To lift up his rod. Now, could God have divided the Red Sea without Moses doing that? Absolutely. But that isn't what God said. God said, "Moses, you do this, and I'm going to do this." And sometimes we think that God is just going to zap us and make us what He wants us to be. And God moves through His instrumentality. God uses human instrumentality. And God isn't going to just zap us and impart unto us what He wants us to have. He's going to use the means that He's revealed in the Word of God. You say, "I want to move forward." Well, be faithful to the Lord in the house of the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord in doing what the Lord would have you to do. Notice he says to Moses, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. It's pretty apparent here that the Red Sea, according to God's intent, was not going to part until Moses did what God told him to do. And sometimes we miss that. We won't ever go forward if we don't do what God tells us to do. And don't you find it interesting here? And there's a completely, entirely different message in this, and I won't focus on this tonight, but isn't it interesting that the same people, the same person that they were complaining about, Moses, was the one that was going to lift up his rod, and God was going to use that to part the Red Sea. We won't go forward if we don't do what God tells us to do. Notice verse number 21. What happens in verse 21? And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Do you note the order? God could have parted the Red Sea anytime He wanted. He could have congealed the waters like jello anytime He wanted. He said, Moses, stretch out your rod. Notice verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. God's promises are sometimes contingent. We need to be obedient to Him. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 24 says, but they hearkened not, speaking of the children of Judah, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and get this, and went backward. And not forward. Beloved, we need to be going forward in the work of God. We must look beyond our calamitous circumstances. Things might look like there's no hope. Here we are in Pi-Hahiroth, according to Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 2, by Migdal. And we're hemmed in, and the enemy's got us in what it appears to be just what the enemy wants. And yet it could be just what God wants. And God could have us where He wants us and use us to go forward in the work and service of God. We need to look beyond our calamitous circumstances. And then this fourth key that we need to see tonight is that when it's all said and done, we need to launch out into God's charted course. It's well and dandy and fine to study the Word of God and to know what the Word of God says. And of course, knowledge precedes action, right? We're wrong if we just go off and try to do things without seeking the face of God and knowing the Word of God. So we have to read the Word of God and study the Word of God and seek the face of God for the knowledge. But really, what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. You can have a bunch of knowledge and be the biggest ignoramus in the world. I mean, you can have degree after degree and understand, you know, science so-called to the nth degree and yet be the biggest idiot on the face of the earth. I don't mean to be harsh tonight, but that's the truth. That's the truth. Knowledge doesn't equate to wisdom. We need to have the knowledge, but wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. And so when it's all said and done, we need to launch out into God's charted course. Notice here, in verse number 16, we find that God is confirming to the people of Israel that if they'll do what He told them to do, He'll protect them. And notice it says here in verse number 16, after Moses lifts up his rod and stretches out his hands over the sea, and God divides it, and by God's power the sea is congealed. Notice God says, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Do you believe that God will allow you, metaphorically speaking, to go through the Red Sea on dry ground? God's a God of His Word. God isn't like man. God doesn't speak and not do it. Everything that God's ever said He would do, He has done perfectly. There isn't anything that God's ever done that wasn't right and perfect. So if God gives a promise in His Word, He's not like we are. Sometimes we don't fulfill our promises. We may have good intentions, but we miss out. God isn't like that. Aren't you glad tonight, beloved, that when God said that He'd save our soul eternally, we don't have to worry about holding out faithfully to the end and, you know, by our good works, keeping that which we did not secure on our own in the first place? God keeps us by His power. And what He said He would do, He would do. Jesus Christ said that all that the Father had given unto Him, they would come to Him. He would never ever cast them out, and He would lose none of them. That's a promise that you can take to the bank. God does what He says. And so, He says to the children of Israel, Moses is going to stretch out His rod, and I'm going to divide the sea, and you are going to walk over on dry ground. Did God do what He said He would do? Notice verses 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Now watch what God did. And made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And then notice here, in verse 22, the children of Israel launch out into the charted course that God had mapped for them. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Oh, beloved, leave tonight with one assurance from the Holy Scriptures. God is a God of His Word. God does what He says. And beloved, He'll take care of you. Go forward. Do what God wants you to do. He's a God that will fulfill what He said. Notice, lastly tonight, as we think about launching into the charted course, not only does God confirm His protection, but we see that God's purposes are sometimes curious. You know, we do a good job of trying to determine why God does what He does. I remember a number of years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, you know, and everybody's going, wow, you know. Of course, New Orleans, look at all the sinful people in New Orleans. You know, you got the Mardi Gras and the French Quarter, and you know, of course that's why God would bring judgment on New Orleans. Well, the fact of the matter is that you and I don't know why God sent that hurricane to New Orleans. We don't know. We try to assign reasons why God does things. And we don't really sometimes know why God does things. Picture yourself as the Israelites. And you're crying unto God for deliverance from bondage and slavery in Egypt. Would you have thought that God would choose to deliver you by pinning you in and causing the Red Sea to part? Is that the way that you would say God would deliver you? Think about a man by the name of Elijah. Would Elijah have thought that God would feed him by calling him out to stand by a drying brook and the ravens would bring him his bread and food? Is that the way that we would think that God would provide? And we don't often know what God is doing. We don't know why He's doing it. His purposes are sometimes curious. God would prove to Pharaoh and to the Israelites for eternity to come that He alone acted, that their deliverance was by His hand alone. You say, well, brother, didn't you just say that some of His promises are contingent and Moses had to stick his rod up? Well, of course, but who divided the waters? Moses didn't divide the waters. God's power divided the waters. God was proving that He and He alone was sovereign. He said, I will get Me glory upon Pharaoh. And that's exactly what He did. But how did He do it? By the Israelites being pursued. By the Israelites being put in some situations that they didn't necessarily want to be put in. What's this year going to hold for you, beloved? You might be put in some situations you don't necessarily want to be put in. Doesn't mean that God's forsaken you. Doesn't mean that He brought you to this place to kill you. Doesn't mean that He brought you out here and you'd be better off turning back. Go forward. go forward in the work and will of God. May our testimony be, as is spoken by the psalmist in Psalm 44, verse 18, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from Thy way. Oh, listen, we've got a clear choice tonight. We can turn back, or we can go forward. We can take the preaching and the challenges that we've heard this week and let them go in one ear and out the other. We can say, well, you know, I already know how to pray. I don't need preaching on how to pray. Shame on us. Oh, you know, I'm not a judgmental person. I don't need preaching on, you know, judge not. Shame on us. Receive what God has given us and move forward and go forward. We've had the blessing of hearing the choice words of God. Four keys that will help us go forward. We need to lose the complaining and criticizing. We need to listen to commissioned counsel. We must look beyond our calamitous circumstances. And finally, when it's all said and done, we got to launch out into God's charted course for our lives. Beloved, pray for me that I go forward. And I'll pray for you that you go forward. Brother Wayne.